Chapter 28, going to read verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to talk today about baptism. Here Jesus said to go into all the world, teach all nations, and baptize them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Also in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, this is Mark's version of the same account. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There's a lot of misunderstanding and false teaching related to baptism. And when you understand what baptism really is and what it does, you can understand why Satan would try to confuse this. The heart of the gospel, how does man access the salvation that God has purchased for us? How do we have to do anything to get it? Well, Christ, yes, we are saved by faith apart from the works of the law, and Christ has purchased salvation for us, but how do you get it? I mean, surely there's something you have to do, right? Otherwise, everyone would be saved, because God is not willing that any should perish. So there's something we are to do, and Jesus is saying here, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So I want to ask some questions and hopefully answer them. Is baptism a work? We've had this criticism before. Well, we're not saved by works, and so being baptized can't save you because it's a work. Is it necessary? Or is it important but just optional? When should someone be baptized? What about the method of baptism? Some sprinkle, some pour, some immerse. Is it important? What about rebaptism? Someone getting baptized a second time. So let's think about these things together. Sometimes you've probably heard someone say that baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. And that is not in the Bible. Whenever we're talking about these things, there are a lot of man's traditions that have crept into the church. I grew up in an environment where there were just man's traditions, and you just assumed that was what was in the Bible. But as I grew and come to know the Word of God, I found out that some of those things, they're just not even mentioned in the Bible. Like this praying the sinner's prayer. Praying the sinner's prayer is almost universally preached, and yet there is not one example in the Scripture of someone praying a prayer to be saved. The apostles did not lead anyone in a prayer to be saved. Not a single one. And yet it is proclaimed like this is the way. You pray the sinner's prayer. And yet Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The words of Scripture. Some baptize infants and babies just to make sure they're safe. Is this scriptural? He that believeth and is baptized. How can this one who doesn't know what they're doing believe and be baptized? It is a choice. It is the response of faith. Someone who believes is baptized. And so it can't be imparted on someone else. And it's also important for us to know we can't just approach God in any old way that we feel like. We can't just say, "Well, I know the Scripture says believe and be baptized to be saved, but I'd like to come this other way. I just think God will accept me if I do it this other way." Think about when Uzzah, David, was going to bring up the ark, and he brought it up on a cart instead of carrying it like the law had said to do, on two staves. They brought it on a cart, and it started to tip, and God killed Uzzah for touching it. That's what God thinks of people not doing things the way He said to do them. Even though they had good intentions, they had honest, sincere hearts, but they weren't doing it the way God said to do it. When God told them, if they make an altar of stone, He said, "Thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it." Well, and there was important how they make this altar. They can't just say, "Well, I think it would look better if we carve it a little. If we shape it with this tool." God said, "You've polluted it." God determines how you approach Him. God dictates the manner of drawing near to Him, or else He won't accept it. Amen. So baptism is the response of faith. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What occurs? Let's look at Acts chapter 2. And this is on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. Verses 37 through 41. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The conviction of their own sin fell upon them. Their guilt before God, having slain the Son of God, and they're crying out to God, "What shall we do?" "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see in this, there is something that you do in order to be saved. It is not works like something of merit or of like the works of the law. It is a work of faith, which is very different. God said to do it, it's an obedience. The obedience of faith. We also see here that baptism is for the remission of sins. Brother Greg talked about the remission of sins. And this says clearly here that baptism is for the remission of sins. People say all the time that baptism doesn't do anything but get you wet. And Peter said, it is for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It is accompanied with the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit. So Peter didn't say, okay. They said, what shall we do? And Peter didn't say, everyone bow your head and pray this prayer after me. Isn't this what is done? But this is not what the apostles did. There was no prayer here. It was repent and be baptized. So I don't care how entrenched, how ingrained this tradition is, it's not of God. God said when someone wants to be saved, you repent and are baptized. And that is the means of remission of sins. Talk about the sinner's prayer. I think it was T.J. Boyd said that Psalm 51 is the sinner's prayer. In Psalm 51, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And then he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's what he was praying for, is to be washed. And so Ananias said to Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. This is the washing. It takes place in baptism. God washes us. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. It is for the remission of sins, and it is the washing away of our sin in baptism. And Peter, in 1 Peter 3, verse 19, says that baptism saves us. 1 Peter 3, 19, he was talking about how Jesus, after his death, went and preached to the spirits in prison. Verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ makes baptism effective, and so that it saves us, just like the water saved Noah. The water lifted Noah up off of the earth. The thing that destroyed the rest of the world actually lifted Noah up to safety. And the water saves us. The water of baptism. And then it's, Jesus said to do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then there are many passages in Acts where it just says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in the name of Jesus. Well, this is not a contradiction, and this is not a difficulty, really. The Scripture can say things in different ways. One doesn't negate the other. So when some people say, well, you're only supposed to baptize in the name of Jesus, but this is just arguing about words. It's the same thing. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So they were baptized with John's baptism. And in fact, this is the only case, an example of people being baptized twice. But they weren't baptized twice in the name of Jesus. They were just received John's baptism, and then they needed, which was to lead them to Christ. So then they were baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Spirit. So Paul and Apollos, noting these people, asked, they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit, and so he immediately questioned their baptism. And that was what was missing. They needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And baptism, when it is referred to in the scripture without a qualification, is always referring to water. There are many places where it says baptized with the Holy Ghost, but when it's not referring to something like that, there's not a qualification, it's referring to water. Here are some examples. In Acts chapter 8, 35 through 38, you're familiar with this, the Ethiopian eunuch was in his chariot, and called Philip to come up with him. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So its water was immediately recognized. Something that Philip preached, associated with Christ, must have made the eunuch realize that he needed to be baptized. So obviously, Philip was preaching to him about baptism. So he said, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And here's the conditions, the qualifications for being baptized. He said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. That is the good confession. And if someone believes that, then they can be baptized. That was a good answer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then the Spirit caught Philip out and just disappeared. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. God sent him there to preach the gospel to this eunuch. And then they happened to come by water. It said they were in the desert. But they happened to come by water. And he's baptized, and then Philip's gone. What a wonderful thing. In Acts chapter 10, then, 43, this is at Cornelius' house. I believe this is at Cornelius' house. Yes. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So when it's referring to baptism, it's always the plain, obvious meaning of it is in water. John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So now let's talk a little bit about baptism in the Holy Spirit. He said that, John said that Jesus was coming. He was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And another place he said, John said, "I didn't know who he was. But he that sent me to baptize said, on whomsoever you see the Spirit descend and remain, he it is that will baptize with the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. So this was the indication to John of who Christ was. He didn't even know until this baptism. Jesus came to John and said, to be baptized. John said, "I need to be baptized of you." Jesus said, "Let it be so, to fulfill all righteousness." So because John agreed, consented to baptize Jesus, then he saw this sign that was given him. The Spirit, like a dove, descended, remained on Christ, and he heard the words of the Father from heaven. So Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost, but what is this fire part? He's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, the next verse says, verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That's the baptism of fire, is the judgment and destruction of sinners. So you either get one or the other. You either get the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you get the baptism with fire. And you don't want the one with fire. That's the chaff is consumed in that. It's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Or John was talking about here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." This was Jesus talking to his disciples. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." So, Jesus' last words to his disciples, don't go out, don't go do anything, don't evangelize the world, you have to wait until you get power from on high. And so they needed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so at the day of Pentecost, then the Spirit of God did come. And they received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then it wasn't just for the apostles, because Peter said, "Repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It went together with the baptism with water. Received the Holy Ghost, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not some special super event. This is part of being born again. This is what happens when you're baptized, is you receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why those that Paul and Apollos talked to who hadn't known about the Holy Ghost, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and then they received the Holy Spirit. Again, at Cornelius' house, we're going back to Cornelius' house for a minute here. Now, in Acts chapter 11, Paul is recounting this to the other apostles who are questioning this. You went into a Gentile's house. And Paul is describing this, verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" And what he did was, can any man forbid water? So they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so he said they need water. They need to be baptized with water. So the one doesn't exclude the other. They're both necessary. Like Jesus said, he must be born of the water and of the Spirit. John 3:5. Whoever is not born of... Someone help me with this. John 3:5. He that... Amen. So you have the baptism of water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Titus 3:5, it's an easy way to remember it. Titus 3:5 is a commentary on John 3:5. He says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, that's baptism, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They go together. But it's all really one baptism. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's just part of all the same thing, a baptism. All right. What about when? When should you be baptized? This is a question that addresses both age and urgency. So what I'm saying is, how old do you have to be baptized? And then also, if you believe in the Lord, how can you wait a while? Can you wait a couple months until there's enough people to rent the baptismal or something? The urgency. Well, of course, there's no age given. Scripture doesn't talk about an age, but it does say whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. So there must be enough maturity to understand and believe the gospel. In Acts chapter 9, this is where Ananias came to Saul and put his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul." I like that. Brother Saul. "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." The next verse, "And when he had received meat," he hadn't eaten, was it 3 days, I think? He hadn't eaten anything. The first thing to do was to be baptized. He arose, received sight, he arose and was baptized. And then he got something to eat. It's urgent. We're talking about entering into the kingdom of God. We're talking about realizing this weight of sin that separates you from God. And realizing I need to be right with God. And he says, repent and be baptized. And you say, okay, I'll do that next Sunday. No! Do it right now. Get right with God. When Paul was recounting this later in Acts chapter 22, verse 12, he said, one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What are you waiting for? Wash away your sins. And the way he did that was to be baptized. I don't want to get into, you know, just having this be just arguing about doctrine, different views on doctrine. Baptism is a beautiful thing. And it is a one-time thing for the believer because it's depicting, we'll get into this, it's depicting death and resurrection. Like the washing of feet is something that you do often because you're walking in this world and you need to have your feet washed. But baptism is not like a washing. It's actually a death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you. But I see we're running out of time. Just a couple words about the method. Sprinkling, pouring, immersion. In John chapter 3, verse 23, I thought this was interesting. It says, John, this is where Jesus was baptizing. It says, and John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Why does it matter if there's much water there? If you just sprinkle. Yeah, I mean, you could take a little trickling stream or something and sprinkle someone or pour water. But there was much water there. With the Ethiopian eunuch, it said Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he was baptized. There's something about baptism that requires much water. And of course, the reason is, in Romans 6, it explains what baptism is. Romans 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried. Hear that word? We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So now, baptism, this is the essence of it. It's just a picture of death to our old life and resurrection as a new creature. Isn't that beautiful? You have been running from God. You're far from God and your guilt and heavy burden. And you come to the cross and he says, I'll make you new. A new creature. So you go down into the grave, you're buried with Christ, and you're raised to walk in newness of life, a new creature. And this death, the baptism, is our way of identifying with Christ's death. It says here we're buried with him by baptism into death. And so, When you baptize someone, you don't put them under the water and just leave them there. Hopefully, you bring them back up because Christ was raised from the dead, right? So we are raised to walk in newness of life. Well, that's not the only picture he gave. In verse 5, it also said, "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So planting involves putting a seed into the ground, covering it with earth. All right, so then, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 also says, we are buried with him by baptism. Buried with him by baptism. And so, is it important how you do it? I think it is. This is what it says. It's representing burial. It's not just a sprinkling or a pouring.
Sprinkle a little bit of dirt on a dead body.
Yeah.
You cover it.
And then in 1 Corinthians 10, there's this example, an allegory you might see, where he says, 1 Corinthians 10:1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat." So he was saying they were like baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so you think of the Red Sea where they cross, there was a lot of water there, enough to drown the whole Egyptian army. So if you're like looking out at a river or a big ocean, big body of water, you just see it flat. But when the water's all gone, what you're going to see is it goes way down. The bed of the sea was very low, so they had to go down into this. And what was the water doing? It was a wall on either side of them, and then there was a cloud over them. So they're going down into this with water on each side and over them. And he described it here as baptism. They were baptized. But the benefit for us, brethren, we can look back at that time of our baptism. You don't have to say, well, did I really mean it? Did I really understand it? Well, no one understands it like you're going to understand it later. But the fact is that you did it. You obeyed God. You were baptized. You can look back on that with confidence and know that Christ did wash away your sins. Many times you'll go through things where you question and wonder, and you can always look back at your baptism and say, that is the point in time where I gave myself to Christ. Amen. So I pray that you'll be encouraged by that. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Very important subject. Much confusion.
Yes. The scripture is very simple about it, but man's reasoning has made it confused.
God is not a God of confusion. Mm-hmm. He has laid out the procedures, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. He's laid out the way, and he expects us to follow it. And he laid out the way of baptism.
All right, let's stand together.